Hello everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, and in this episode, I'll be running up all the action from J2 Round 24, which took place on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of July. It was a good weekend for the away teams, well, most of the away teams. To talk about the unsuccessful away teams, we need to focus on the bottom of the table. So let's start at Ajinomoto Stadium, where Tokyo Verde welcomed bottom club FC Ryukyu. The visitors got off to a flying start when a cross bounced nicely for new signing Kelvin to score his first goal for the club with just 67 seconds on the clock. After a couple of good Verdi chances, Ryukyu almost doubled the lead when a defensive lapse from Ryota Kajikawa let Katsuya Nakano in one-on-one, but Verdi keeper Matias blocked the shot. Verdi pulled level just before half-time. Play was switched to Mizuki Arai on the left, and his cross was headed in by Ryoga Sato. Ryukyu keeper Junto Taguchi kept the scores level when he parried a cross that evaded everyone in the 75th minute. But Ryukyu couldn't hold on, as Mizuki Arai picked up a loose ball on the edge of the area, cut inside, and curled a shot past Taguchi for 2-1. Another late goal, this one in the 83rd minute, did for Ryukyu, who are still 7 points behind 21st placed Omiya Ardija. Omiya are still 21st, and still only 7 points ahead of Ryukyu because they also lost away to Iwate Gruja Morioka in probably the biggest game of the weekend. There was an early goal here too, and it was Iwate's. Masaomi Nakano heading in Tsubasa Yuge's corner in the 10th minute. With 35 minutes gone, a ball over the top put Omiya's Jin Izumisawa through on goal, but Kenta Matsuyama got down to save well. In the second half, Matsuyama got his fingertips to a Shinya Yajima shot which hit the bar. Omiya had the ball in the net in stoppage time, but Takamitsu Tomiyama's header was ruled out for offside. A close call and hard to tell from the camera angle. So, Iwate won 1-0, a huge 3 points that moves them up to 1 place to 19th and increases the gap to Omiya to 4 points. In between Iwate and Omiya is Zespa Kasatsu Gunma, who lost 2-0 at home to 2nd place Albirex Niigata. Shion Honma put Niigata ahead after only 3 minutes, poking home a rebound after a good reaction save from Masatoshi Kushibiki. It was 2-0 after a quarter of an hour when Ryotaro Ito finished a neat passing move down the right, which looked very easy, it has to be said. Niigata created several chances for Kaito Taniguchi, but he couldn't add to the score, and Niigata's keeper Ryosuke Kojima was not really called upon until the 90th minute when he saved well from a Tomoyuki Shiraishi volley. Gunma are now winless in 8 league games. That's 7 losses and a draw. Niigata are just a point behind leaders Yokohama FC. Tochigi SC picked up a vital 3 points on their trip to Monterio Yamagata. They took an early lead, a throw in on the left was worked over to the right, and Hayato Kurosaki's shot from just outside the area took a deflection and beat Masaaki Goto. Tochigi almost let Yamagata back into it just after the hour mark when Kurosaki slipped under no pressure and keeper Kawata fumbled a low cross, but defenders on the line blocked the resulting shot. Tochigi got a second goal in the 81st minute after Yamagata gave the ball away in midfield. Koki Oshima crossed from the right and Yuki Nishiya scored with his thigh. It finished 2-0 to Tochigi and they're up to 17th now, 5 points ahead of Omiya and unbeaten in 4 after their first win in 6 league games. Yamagata slipped to 10th as their poor form continues. Tochigi overtook Blaublitz Akita in the standings as they lost 1-0 at home to Reno for Yamaguchi. Akita's defence had a busy opening 15 minutes as Yamaguchi twice went close with headers and keeper Yudai Tanaka made a good save 1-on-1. The game's only goal came on the half hour. A cross from the left, byline, fell for Daisuke Takaki to volley with his left foot at the back post. Tanaka made another good save 10 minutes into the second half after a Yamaguchi counter-attack, and Akita's best chance came in the 63rd minute. A corner was headed down, but deflected over by striker Hayate Take. That means Akita dropped to 18th, and they haven't won in their last 8 league games. Yamaguchi move up to 16th, with consecutive wins for only the second time this season. There was an early goal in Kanazawa, and naturally it was for the away team. Koki Sugimori got away from his marker to turn in a cross at the near post in the 5th minute to give Tokushima Vortis the only goal of the game. Kanazawa's best chances came in the second half. Masamichi Hayashi hit both posts, and Yohei Toyoda saw a header palmed over by keeper Toru Hasegawa. At the other end, Yuto Shirai saved well from Naoto Arai as Tokushima moved above Kanazawa in the table. They're 12th and 13th now. Roasso Kumamoto came away from Okayama with 3 points thanks to a 2-0 win over Fagiano. Shun Ito opened the scoring in the 13th minute with a shot from the edge of the area, taking advantage of some uncharacteristically sloppy defending from Okayama. Okayama keeper Daiki Hotta was busy in the first half, and Okayama's forward Thiago Alves had good chances either side of half-time, one shot over and one just wide. Kumamoto got their second 10 minutes into the second half when Osamu Henry Ioha got away from his marker to head in a corner at the near post. This result sees Kumamoto get their first league win in 6 games. They're in 9th now, while Okayama lost for the first time in 8 league games and dropped one place to 5th. The teams in 7th and 8th, Oita Trinita and Jeff United, played out a feisty encounter at the Showa Denki Dome. Jeff defender Jang Mingyu scored the game's opening goal as a free kick from the right was glanced on by Ikki Arai, a free header, and knocked in at the back post by Jang. It was 2-0 to the visitors in the 53rd minute when Solomon Sakuragawa chested down a high pass from Tomoya Miki and calmly shot past Shun Takagi. Oita pulled one back on 62 minutes, Shun Nagasawa powering a header past Sota Matsubara. And there was a bit of a melee in the 70th minute. Oita wanted a penalty for handball, but play continued. Then out in midfield, Yusuke Kobayashi fouled Arata Watanabe and got a yellow card for his troubles. Jeff captain Taishi Taguchi then came over to harangue the referee, don't know why, it was obviously a yellow card, and was joined by Sakuragawa. Watanabe got up, and Sakuragawa appeared to say something to him, so Watanabe shoved him two-handed in the chest. Sakuragawa, who's a very tall man, went down like a felled tree, and several other Jeff players were appealing for a card. None was forthcoming, and I expect Jeff supporters and players felt somewhat aggrieved after seeing their goalie Shota Arai receive a red for a similar shove last week. Nothing came of that free kick, by the way, but that moment seemed to spark a Jeff collapse. Oita poured forwards and had a header cleared off the line, then Hiroto Goya headed in a rebound back off the crossbar to equalise in the 83rd minute. 3 minutes later, the comeback and collapse were complete when Goya finished a quick counter-attack. 3-2 the final score, making Jeff only the third away team not to win at the weekend. Oita managed consecutive league wins for the first time this season. Vegalta Sendai kept pace with the top two, with a 3-2 win away to Machida Zelvia, where all 5 goals came in the second half. Sendai's Kim Tae-hyun got the first in the 52nd minute, stretching to head in a corner. Yusuke Minagawa headed the second from a free kick 25 minutes later, and Motohiko Nakajima tapped in a rebound to put Sendai 3-0 up with 8 minutes to play. Shusuke Ota gave the home side some hope by volleying in a cross in the 85th minute to make it 3-1. Chong Tese put a free header wide in the 92nd minute, and Ota shot straight at the keeper a couple of minutes later. Machida did get their second eventually, and Masayuki Okuyama volley from 25 yards that beat an out-of-position Daichi Sugimoto in the 96th minute. Too late though. So Machida are 6th and Sendai are still 3rd. New Nagasaki manager Fabio Carile had the perfect start to his tenure as his side won 1-0 at Kofu to move up to 4th. Masaru Kato got the goal in the 9th minute, a low shot from just inside the penalty area. Kofu had plenty of chances in this one, but Nagasaki keeper Masaya Tomizawa was excellent. His only instance of a misjudged attempt to come for a cross saw William Lira head onto the crossbar. Nagasaki held on for a good win. Kofu dropped to 15th after their second consecutive loss. And finally, Yokohama FC stay 1 point clear at the top of J2 thanks to a come-from-behind victory away to Mito Hollyhock. The home team almost went ahead early on, but a combination of Sven Brodersen, goal-line defenders and the post kept them at bay. It was only until the 21st minute, though, when Kosuke Kinoshita managed to head through Brodersen's hands. The keeper seemed to completely misjudge that one. The lead lasted 10 minutes, then Takuya Wada dribbled through the back line and shot into the roof of the net from close range. And the winner came in the 57th minute from, who else, Koki Ogawa, who bundled home across with his knee. Mito had a stoppage time goal disallowed for offside against Nao Yamada, so the visitors took the 3 points and extend their unbeaten run to 7, while Mito are 14th and on a 3-game winless run. So that's round 24 taken care of. 8 away wins, no draws, and no luck on the road for Ryukyu, Omiya, or Jeff. I'll be back in a moment to run through the round 25 fixtures. Welcome back. There's a full round of J2 games on Wednesday the 6th of July, that's match day 25, starting at 6 o'clock with a big relegation clash, Iwate against Ryukyu. The rest of the games kick off at 7 p.m. Sendai welcome Kofu, Tochigi take on Tokyo Verdy, Machida meet Mito, Akita face a tough trip to Yokohama FC, Niigata play Jeff United, Gunma need a result in Kanazawa, Okayama look to rebound against desperate Omiya, Yamaguchi face their neighbours Oita, Nagasaki play Yamagata, and Kumamoto take on Tokushima. That's all for the J2 side of things for now, but John will be around later in the week to review the Wednesday games. Thanks for listening and supporting the pod, especially if you do so on Patreon. But don't go anywhere now, because here comes Mike Innes with the latest from J3 in J-Talk Short Corner.
Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode, I'll be looking back on the matches in round 15, as well as previewing the round 16 games coming up this weekend. First, some items of J3 news since the last pod. Regular listeners will recall Azul Klano Numazu's ability to retain a J3 licence for next season has been in doubt because of issues relating to the floodlighting at their Ashitaka Stadium. Earlier in the year, the club ran a crowdfunding campaign which raised more than 40 million yen towards improving the floodlights in order to remain compliant with licensing requirements. And last week, the council in Numazu City approved a 65 million yen supplementary budget which enables Azul Klano to meet total costs for the project of 100 million yen. Work on the lights at Ashitaka is scheduled to start in September, to be completed by the end of the year, putting the club in a strong position to keep their J3 licence. And Iwaki FC say they've applied for a licence that would enable them to play in J2 2023. The application is based on use of a renovated Iwaki Green Field as the club's main home stadium. Iwaki say they expect to hear back from the J-League as to the success or otherwise of their application in mid-October. The J-League say that one J3 fixture will form part of the gradual rollout of plans to allow vocal support back in the country's football stadia. The match at hand has been announced as the 13th of August, round 20 encounter between Vanderare Hachinohe and Iwaki. On to the action now, and round 15 with 7 games on a busy Saturday the 2nd of July, when there were wins for all the top 3 teams. At home to Tegevajaro Miyazaki, Iwaki FC had the easiest ride, almost taking the lead 3 times in the first 13 minutes, as Daigo Furukawa's back post header forced a scramble off the line by the strangely relaxed Kenji Dai. Hiroto Iwabuchi hit the post from 20 yards, and Rei Iezumi got the ball in the net when he headed home Yuto Yamashita's free kick, but was judged offside. The hosts had to wait until the 51st minute to go in front, a nice team move down the left-hand side, freeing up Kotaro Arima to send in a low cross, which Iwabuchi failed to make contact with, but Kaina Tanimura was following up and made no mistake, his first J-League goal. 1-0 became 2 shortly afterwards, Eiji Miyamoto's determined run and well-judged pass setting up Arima, who sprinted through and clipped it past Shunsuke Ueda. Final score, Iwaki 2, Miyazaki 0, and in an encounter between the last 2 teams to enter the J-League, there was only 1 winner. Iwaki, untroubled in defence, confident going forward. Tegevajaro, lacklustre at best, and now on a run of 4 straight losses. No problem for Iwaki, but both Kagoshima United and Matsumoto Yamaga had to work harder for their 3 points. Matsumoto in the evening fixture at Vanrare Hachinohe. Yamaga took a big away following up north, which helped Vanrare achieve a record home crowd of 3,198. And early on, the hosts, resplendent in their new summer uniform, put Matsumoto under considerable pressure. Takeru Itakura had a good chance from a Kazuya Niwa corner, but put his half volley just wide. Then Takumi Shimada sneaked between Yota Shimokawa and Yuya Ono to get on the end of Aoi Sato's clever cross, but headed just over. Yamaga didn't threaten until after half-time, Paulinho finding Takeyuki Maya in space on the right for a dangerous low shot that beat Kazuki Hattori, but which Masanobu Komaki cleared off the line. And having a free man at the far post gave Matsumoto the only goal of the game 17 minutes from time, when substitute Kazuhiro Sato swung in a ball from the left. Ren Komatsu's header was only parried by Hattori, and the loose ball was poked home by the perhaps unlikely figure of Shimokawa, his first league goal for almost exactly 2 years. Late on, Yamaga starlet Ayumu Yokoyama pulled an angled shot just wide of the far post in the closest the game came to a second goal, but it ended Hachinohe 0, Matsumoto 1. Vanrare would likely have got something from a lesser opponent. Yamaga had that better overall quality and waited for a lapse in concentration to grind out the win. Meanwhile, leaders Kagoshima United were second best for long periods at Gidavansky to Kyushu. Goalkeeper Shuma Shirasaka first tipping an early Yuya Takazawa header over the bar, and then keeping out Kotaro Fujikawa's close-range effort after his teammates had gone to sleep defending a corner. In the 20th minute, Kagoshima still struggling to get a foothold in the game, their veteran defender Yuji Kimura was turned inside out by Taiga Maekawa, who touched it back for Soo Fujitani to fire in a shot that beat Shirasaka but hit the post. In first half stoppage time, Kitakyushu finally got their reward. Maekawa crossing from the left, Takazawa beating Shosei Okamoto to a header which crashed against the bar, quick thinking Fujikawa manoeuvring the loose ball over the line. Giramance almost doubled their lead early in the second half, Ryo Sato hitting the bar from a free kick, but a familiar narrative from this season, Kenichi Amano's team losing out because of missed chances, began to be played out once again when, in the 76th minute, a quick counter-attack down the Kagoshima right ended in Shunsuke Yamamoto playing it across the area for Rei Yonezawa to flick in at the near post. And 4 minutes later, Kimura floated in a free kick. Koki Arita escaped his marker Takazawa and glanced a header past Yuya Tanaka. Even then, Kitakyushu could have won themselves a point, Takazawa's deft chip being received by Maekawa, who, 10 yards out and with his back to goal, held off Atsuki Satsukawa, swivelled and shot only for Shirakawa to pull off a match-winning save. Final score, Kitakyushu 1, Kagoshima 2. An energetic performance from Giravance, but they lost focus in the latter stages to end up with nothing. A vital display of mental strength for Kagoshima, especially as they'd lost 2 of the last 3. J-Talk Extra Time. If the top 4 teams all, via their various means, managed to come away with maximum points, 4th placed Katale Toyama's winning run came to an end after 6 matches via a draw at Fukushima United. Toyama did go in front in the 19th minute, the home side failing to clear a set play and allowing Makoto Lindo to float the ball back into the box, where Kyosuke Kamiyama rose above both Makoto Kawanishi and Kosuke Tanaka to head inside the post. The home team, scorers of only one goal in the preceding five games, were reduced to long-range efforts in the first half, but were able to pull level 7 minutes after the restart when Hiroto Moraoka crossed from the right to find Riku Hashimoto, who took advantage of the space allowed him by the Katane defence to fire left-footed past Genki Yamada. And it was Fukushima who almost got a winner. Hiroki Higuchi, back in midfield for only the second time since March, threw in a one-on-one against Yamada, seeing his shot beat the keeper but bounce back off the post. Final score, Fukushima 1, Toyama 1. A welcome point for the out-of-form home side, although their next two matches are away at Kagoshima and Matsumoto. Katane can't complain about a draw from a subdued display. Three other games on Saturday, and Fujieda My FC moved back up to fifth in the table thanks to a home win over Ehime FC. In the absence of Tomoyuki Doi, rookie Takato Nakai got his first ever J-League start up front for My FC, and it was Nakai who laid it off for Ekiyuki Yokoyama to find space and beat Kenta Tokushige at his near post for the 10th minute opener. And only 6 minutes later, the same combination of players found the net again. Nakai out-muscling Reiya Morishita before crossing for Yokoyama, who couldn't miss. Six in the last eight games now for Yokoyama, blossoming in his third season as a pro. Ehime rarely threatened, but they did almost score an own goal 15 minutes from time. Takanori Mayano deflecting a shorter Suzuki cross onto the bar and over. And Fujieda nearly grabbed a third on the counter-attack. Tojiro Kubo advancing half the length of the pitch before deciding he might as well have a go. His thumping drive beating Tokushige, but coming back off the crossbar. Final score, Fujieda 2, Ehime 0. My FC in complete control of this one. Lamentable stuff from the not-so-mighty Mikans. Where was the team that beat Matsumoto and Kagoshima in their last two games? Azul Claro Numazu continued their excellent run of home form with a straightforward win over Gainari Tottori. It looked like the first half was going to end goalless, but in the 45th minute, Ryo Watanabe headed down a long ball into the box. Takumi Hammer knocked it on, and Naoki Sato raced in to convert past Koshiro Itohara. 3 minutes into the second period, Itohara was at the centre of a match-defining moment when, rushing to reach a misplaced back pass by Junya Suzuki, the Gainari keeper took out Watanabe and was quickly shown a straight red card. Azul Claro duly went 2-0 in front in the 67th minute, Kosei Uryu playing a 1-2 with Hammer and sending a rising shot past Ken Tajiri. The win was all wrapped up deep into injury time, young substitute Yuma Mori pulling the ball back from the byline. Hammer's shot was blocked by Junya Suzuki, but Kenshiro Suzuki hit home the rebound. Final score, Numazu 3, Tottori 0. Azul Claro able to celebrate their off-the-pitch good news with a deserved win. Gainari's poorest performance for some weeks, clearly not aided by Itohara's sending off. And AC Nagano Parseiro took an early lead in their feisty game at SC Sagamihana. Carlos Duke comprehensively outrunning Yasumasa Kawasaki before crossing for Takayuki Miyamoto to finish from close range in the 7th minute. Only 7 minutes after that, it was 2-0 as Takuma Mizutani launched a long ball into the box that sneaked in untouched at the far post. From there on, goalkeepers Kentaro Kakkoi and Issei Oichi both turned in good performances to keep the scoreline unchanged, although Parseiro gave the hosts a lifeline midway through the second half when Keita Yoshioka first miscontrolled the ball and then tripped veteran sub Kaoru Takayama for a penalty, dispatched past Oichi by Takayuki Funayama. In the closing minutes, Nagano had Hiroshi Azuma sent off for a second yellow card after he flew in on Ryu Kawakami, but the game ended Sagamihara 1, Nagano 2. The home side undone by a slow start in the defensive third and not being able to feed Takumi Kato up front. Paseiro scrapped out the win, but look, a mid-table side. Then on Sunday the 3rd, there were two more games, but only one place to start. That's with FC Gifu against FC Imabari, the home side looking to keep going their good run under Yuji Yokoyama and maintain the gap between themselves and the promotion spots at 4 points. Imabari under Kazuaki Ashikawa, an inconsistent side but with a decent away record. What an outcome this match was to have, and the story began to unfold on 11 minutes when Gifu's Wataru Hashimoto was caught in possession on the touchline 15 yards inside the Imabari half. Having stolen the ball, Marcus Indio hurtled upfield until 20 yards out from the Gifu goal, he lashed in a low shot that flew between Takuya Matsumoto's outstretched hand and the post. A goal of the month's contender for sure, and an extraordinary way for Indio to open his account in the J-League. Imabari almost extended their lead within 2 minutes, but Matsumoto saved well in a one-on-one with Kazaki Nakagawa. The second goal, when it arrived moments later though, was a plain, old-fashioned header from a corner. Tomoya Ando rising unchallenged to power in Takuro Uehara's set play. In injury time at the end of the first half, Gifu did have a goal correctly ruled out for offside when Ryo Kubota tucked in Tomoya Ugajin's cross, but that was as good as it got for the men in green, ruthlessly exposed by an opponent for whom everything went right. Everything, that is, except for in the 52nd minute when Kanta Chiba looked to be onside when he knocked in Takatora Kondo's scuffed shot, only for it to be chalked off. Soon afterwards, though, it was three for the visitors. Uehara's corner headed towards goal by Marcus Indio. Matsumoto could only parry it, and birthday boy Nakagawa tucked it in. And in the 59th minute, the visiting fans thought they were in dreamland. Kondo picking up the ball on a counter-attack, advancing towards the edge of the box and sliding it to Nakagawa to shoot home his second in a matter of 2 minutes. With a quarter of an hour left, Imabari scored again. A pacey run by Shaw Fukuda exposing the Gifu defence. Takuya Shimamura slipped it into the area where 19-year-old Taisei Takase turned to strike it past Matsumoto. Final score, Gifu 0, Imabari 5. And how to analyse a result like this? Gifu were found wanting in two key areas: their ability to deal with opposing players running at pace while in possession of the ball, and their defence of set pieces. Conversely, players who have emerged in recent weeks as being important on the attacking side, like Kubota and Kosuke Fujioka, were unable to make an impact. For Imabari, this was their biggest ever win in the J-League. Marcus Indio was outstanding, and aside from the goal, he seems to have found his role, wide midfield or behind the main strikers. Mention too must be made of one of the division's unsung heroes, Takatora Kondo, perpetually in motion. And finally, a Kentaro Shigematsu penalty just before the hour gave Kamatamari Sanuki the win at home to YSCC Yokohama. Wooden Spooners YSCC conceded the spot kick when Ryohei Wakizaka gave the ball away trying to pass out from deep in defence and looking to regain possession upended Sanuki's Naoya Matsumoto. Shigematsu scored confidently with his right foot. Very few chances in this one, and the possibility of YSCC getting anything from the game disappeared in the 81st minute when Riku Furuyado was sent off for a professional foul on Kakeru Aoto. Final score, Seneki 1, YSCC 0. Kamatamari, a limited side, but they didn't need to be more than that to take the points. YSCC still showing no signs of improvement under Kei Hoshikawa, 5 defeats in a row. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after round 15. The top four teams are Kagoshima with 32 points, then Iwaki and Matsumoto have 31, and Toyama 29. At the other end of the table, the bottom four are Sagamihara in 15th with 14 points, Hachinohe with 13, Tottori 12, and still at the bottom with 5, YSCC. Just time now for a quick look ahead to this weekend and round 16, with 6 games on Saturday the 9th of July. Leaders Kagoshima have the chance to pick up points as they welcome Fukushima. It's 3rd against 4th at Matsumoto, where the visitors are Toyama. Can Fujieda climb back into contention with an away win at struggling Sagamihara? There's a lower mid-table clash between Numazu and Senuki. And there are 2 important games in the lower reaches of the table. Tottori against Kitakyushu and YSCC against Hachinohe. Then on Sunday the 10th, not much doubting the game of the day as second-placed Iwaki travel to test the powers of recovery at Gifu. Can Imabari turn it on for a second straight week? They go to Nagano. And Ehime have the chance to bounce back at home to off-form Miyazaki. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.